overwhelming bass line.
Yes, yes, indeed. Like when you pull up next to someone at a red light and the ground is shaking.
Shall we begin?
Sure.
In our attempts to just breeze past that background noise. 10 weeks down. Match day 10 is complete in La Liga. There is no Monday game because the Copa del Rey is back this week. But, Rob, we had another fascinating weekend at the football. Let's start on Friday. Should we start Friday? Yes, we can start on Friday. Real Valladolid 1, Espanyol 1. Daniele Verde for Real Valladolid scoring a wonderful free kick in stoppage time to get the point for the hosts. They are up to 6th. Espanyol had a chance to go top with a win, but they'll have to settle for the draw. They're still unbeaten in their last 5. On Saturday, Girona beat Rayo Vallecano 2-1. Rayo still in some trouble. They haven't won in, I think, their last 7 now. It's at least 6. I think they haven't won in their last 7. Girona needed a bounce back win, and they got it. Athletic 0, Valencia 0. Rob, that is 8 draws. 8 draws in 10 for Valencia. As the goals, they're just not coming. No goals this week. 1 last week. 1 the week before. I'm noticing a pattern.
Well, I think this matchup is the sort of underachiever's derby of perhaps the two biggest teams that haven't done as well this season so far, and in recent years, I guess you could say. Valencia were good last year, but this is the second year running for Athletic that they've been quite poor. I think most everyone would agree with that.
And Athletic have 7 draws through 10 weeks.
Yeah, these are kind of, it's been a rough start for these two, for sure.
And I think at least one of them is going to be without a manager by the end of next month.
You'd think so, and you'd think it's certainly more likely to be Athletic. I mean, if Valencia sack Marcelino, then someone will get a very good coach. But, I don't think that's necessarily the problem there.
Yeah, I do think Marcelino has a little more clout because he got this team into the Champions League.
Yes,
and
for sure.
They still have a good chance to progress, I think. But Athletic, very different story there. Athletic do not like doing this. They're not used to having these things kind of blow up in their faces. That's usually a much better run club than this. So stressful.
And especially 2 seasons in a row.
Yeah, stressful times. Valencia, just 1 of 2 teams this weekend to pick up points away from home. Every other home team won. Celta beat Eibar about 4-0. Kind of a lucky result. A lot of Celta's goals had very low XG, but Iago Aspas scored a hat trick, and Eibar did not score any. Not going to win very many games doing that. Levante 2, Leganés 0. Leganés were quite good in this game. I watched a bit of it. They were good, but not good enough. Levante getting goals on the other side of halftime, including a 90th-minute strike from Ruben Rocina to seal the result. Leganés are still in the drop zone and will be there when Atletico face them next weekend. We'll talk about Atletico and La Real in a minute. On Sunday, Getafe 2, Real Betis 0. Betis, again, struggling to score goals, which is kind of important. They've lost 3 straight in La Liga, and that's coming off a big midweek win over Milan.
Yeah, it's been extremely weird for one of the best teams outside of the top 3 or 4 in La Liga last season. They've had such a struggle this year, and I mean, honestly, I would say in this summer they probably improved. They lost Fabian, of course, but outside of that, they got in some good players like Lo Celso, who scored a pretty nice goal in the Europa League last week, I believe it was, against AC Milan.
Yeah, he did.
But yeah, they're struggling in the league for sure.
They have just 5 goals through 10 weeks. They haven't scored any in their last 3.
You'd think that'll turn around at some point, but
you'd think, but it's very difficult with a team that plays.
Sometimes these things just don't turn around. They just stick this
way.
They just
don't. Who knows?
Yeah, we'll see. But I mean, it seems like they haven't been as bad as their record suggests, but you never know. They get stuck in a rut, sack the manager, it could go poorly.
Speaking of things not turning around and sacking the manager, how about Real Madrid?
Whoa, now, yeah.
In El Clasico on Sunday afternoon, Barcelona 5, Real Madrid 1. It wasn't as bad as the scoreline indicated. But it was still pretty bad. Real Madrid were really not good, particularly in the first half, and Barca just ended up running away with it. Luis Suarez with a hat trick as Barcelona go back atop the table in stunning fashion. Real Madrid are ninth. They are winless in their last five with four losses in La Liga. Crazy.
Yeah, and it seemed kind of like the word was out before this match even that Lopetegui's job was pretty much done.
Unless he won.
Right, and it sort of seems like the last couple of weeks they've been looking for a manager more so than putting their trust in Lopetegui anymore. And it doesn't seem like they're going to get any kind of sexy candidate. I mean, you could say Lopetegui wasn't that in the first place, but no, weird managerial shuffle going on there.
The latest is that they're not even going to get Conte because powerful dressing room figures do not like him, which always good to have someone like Sergio Ramos dictating how things should go.
Yes, and maybe Thibaut Courtois, because as we have sort of found out later, most of that Chelsea team did kind of hate Conte by the end of it.
Yes, Thibaut Courtois, also a man of high integrity.
Yes, as we know.
Santiago Solari is rumored to be the guy taking over. Solari, of course, a former Atletico player before he jumped ship and moved to Madrid in 2000.
So it seems like they're going to go with the sort of promote from within strategy, which I guess makes sense. But
well, it's what they did with
since there's no one available.
It's what they did with Zidane.
That was Zidane. Yeah. He has a bit of clout.
Deportivo Alavés 2, Villarreal 1, another late winner for Alavés, and our old friend Borja Bastón got it, Rob.
Yeah, good to see him scoring again after some kind of crappy spells in his career. When he was at Swansea, he never really found his feet. That club was a mess at the time, so I don't really put that on him. But, doing well for a good side.
With his first touch, he got the winning goal at Mendoza.
That's pretty good.
Alaves are up to second, Villarreal down in 17th. Ugh. Just 1 point
off. Kind of annoying that we didn't beat them.
Yeah. Finally, on Sunday, the late game was Sevilla 2, Huesca 1, a double for Pablo Sarabia as Sevilla moved back into, well, I think they were always in the top three. I don't know. The positioning from day to day has been very fluid in La Liga this season.
Yes, to say the least.
Sevilla are currently third. That's what I know. Let's go back to Saturday night, and we'll talk about Atletico Madrid 2, Real Sociedad 0. That is Atletico 2, Real Sociedad 0. We talked about a response, Rob. We talked about needing to make changes. We talked about doing things differently after the Dortmund result on Wednesday. Did this result satisfy your desire for change, for improvement?
Not entirely, but I think it was certainly a step in the right direction. Atleti had over 60% possession and did a lot with it. I mean, we've seen in the past they can have possession but then don't create much. They had a good amount of chance. They had double the chance of Real Sociedad. So it was all right. I mean, it's not going to be perfect one game after a terrible result, but it was certainly better.
I think this was one of Atletico's more complete performances of the season. In part, it was because Real Sociedad were quite bad. No Mikel Oyarzabal in this game, and they just had nothing without him. Just very, very little moving forward. No shots on target, which did make things easier for Atleti. That being said, there were some impressive performances in this game. Let's start with Santiago Arias.
Yeah.
I think
we talked about that midweek, that he needed to come in.
That is as good a place to start as any. I wrote in my player ratings, this was the best performance from an Atletico right back this season.
Oh, certainly. Absolutely.
A game high.
He showed basically you have fitness, you can play well at right back.
A game high 106 touches for him. I think that's one of the most important things about this, is that he was getting the ball. He was trusted. He was getting some reps, 87% pass completion, and he was really good defensively. Really good defensively.
I thought so. Two tackles, three interceptions. He had a pretty good game. And I think we've seen in the past that Atleti can tend to rely on their fullbacks to provide some kind of attacking threat. And I think Arias certainly did that. He had a couple of shots. They weren't on target. But I think he certainly provided a threat from fullback that we haven't seen so far this season.
Oh, absolutely. He just kept getting a lot of space up the flank. a lot of dangerous crosses, just a dangerous presence there that Juan Front hasn't been. And no, it was a really good performance, and it shows that his integration into the team is going well, and we need to see more starts from him. We've said this before. We said it on the pod last week that we need to see more from Arias, and we need to see what he's truly capable. This is a guy who was Eredivisie Player of the Year last year, so he's talented. He's a full,
from fullback, which is pretty crazy.
he's a full international, has been for years with Colombia. We need to see what he's capable of and what he can do.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's not like this is a youth team guy that we're just begging to be picked out of nowhere. I mean, this was the summer signing. He's 26 years old. He's in the prime of his career. He needs to just play now until he proves that he's not good enough.
Well, staying with the defense, Diego Godin getting his first goal of the season, Rob, on the stroke of halftime. The first goal since September 2012 that he did not score with his head.
That's the more impressive thing, I think. Yeah, Diego Godin, not known for scoring with other body parts other than the head, for sure.
This was a really, really nice little finish, though. And the control by Correa as well from the wing. I don't know how he maintained possession of this ball and just kind of floated into the area, pinged around a little bit. Godin was there to slot it in. And it was a big blow because Atleti had dominated the first half but didn't have any end product until that moment.
Yeah, I think that's fair. They didn't have much to show for it. But yeah, Correa, I thought we've seen this from him time and time again. He's so good technically that it just kind of makes it even more frustrating when he isn't consistent or doesn't produce. But yeah, no, that was a fantastic little, I guess it wouldn't count it as an assist because there's a bit of ping pong going on. But yeah, give him credit for it.
Yeah, Correa had a really, really good game. He was a live wire out there, very... particularly in the first half, he was electrifying at times. That's the player he can be, just isn't always. Back to defense for a second. Stefan Savic, his first appearance in nearly 2 months. He did kind of screw up a little bit. He was lucky not to get sent off for that high boot through a Lucas Sangali.
Yes.
Which, yeah, on another day, that would have been a red card. But Savic was lucky to stay on. He ended up playing all right. Felipe Luis coming off the bench in place of Lucas Hernandez and getting Atletico's second goal.
Back to back weeks. Doing it. The defense is going to have to score the goals.
Yeah, the way things are going right now. Back to back weeks, Felipe has scored. This was a beaut. Cut onto his right foot and just lashed it past another old friend of ours, Miguel Angel Moya, to double the lead and pretty much put this thing to bed. Lucas had to come off due to a muscular injury or precautionary. It was precautionary substitution due to a possible muscular injury. He won't play midweek regardless, but that is something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, so it'll probably be Godin and Savic midweek, you'd think, given Jose Mas still coming back and Lucas just got injured. So hopefully those two will be back soon enough.
And either that or it'll be someone from the academy coming up.
Yeah, that's certainly possible. I guess since it is a Copa del Rey game, they can certainly play a youngster in there and could probably get away with it.
So Felipe was quite good, but he had to leave training on Monday. So Atletico may not have a left back for a few days here. That's not nerve wracking at all.
Yeah, get to see Saul left back or something.
Yeah, shout out Saul.
That'll be classic.
Yeah, I mean, Saul was a left midfielder on Saturday. Set up Felipe's goal. It's one of those assists that where it's like a simple, you know, pass over to the side. And, like, the goal scorer does all these incredible things with it, so you don't even remember the assist. It was one of those assists. But, yeah, there were just good performances throughout the squad, I thought. Midfield was excellent, mostly because Rodri was there. I know, big surprise.
Yes.
Rodri pass completion update, 92.3% on Saturday.
Not bad. Not bad at all. He's been all right at the whole passing thing so far.
He won 4 of his 5 tackles. Just kept things ticking. Koke played centrally, and interestingly enough, I want to know your thoughts on this. Simeone said after the game that Rodri and Koke are Atletico's most offensive, most attack-minded central midfield pairing, and that was the one that played this game.
I mean, I think it's probably more offensively minded than Rodri and Tomas, but yes. Then again, duh. But I guess. I guess you could put Saul in there in place of Koke, and it would maybe still be the same kind of result. But I thought Koke was much better centrally. than he typically is on the wing. And he's also, he's all right out there. Obviously, it's not his preferred position, but he did, I think he did better than Koke often does on the wing.
That's true. And Koke was really good himself.
Mm-hmm.
12 for 14 on long balls was my key stat for him. Really helped to set the tone there. And I actually agree with Simeone that Rodri and Koke is their most attacker, at least from a possession maintenance standpoint. I think it's definitely Atletico's best central midfield pairing, at least from that point of view.
Yeah, and I mean, if you're looking for two players that are going to complete pretty much 90% or more of their passes, then those two are the ones you want to go with for sure.
Yeah.
Those two are so comfortable on the ball and releasing other players. They're both over 90, so that's pretty impressive. That Felipe goal, I think, it was somewhat similar. Was it the one, was it at home to Depor last year when he did the cut-in onto the right foot? It was someone who played in blue.
No, it was La Real.
Yes.
It was La Real last year, too. Yeah, Felipe all-time against Real Sociedad in red and white. 4 goals against them.
Yeah, okay. I knew it was a team that played in blue. So, yeah, that's pretty crazy. He scored he likes scoring those goals against Real Sociedad.
Yeah, he scored a very – it was also from a Saul assist, actually, because Saul cut in from the right. He drifted in from the right. He crossed it. And I think Felipe took that onto his right foot as well. And that was when Atletico were trailing in that game, and they equalized.
Yeah, that goal from last year was really good as well. So Felipe, he's not on the left foot, as we've sort of come to know. But and I was a little bit surprised Griezmann didn't score. He likes to score against his old club.
But
that's okay.
It's interesting you mentioned that. I think that's a good segue into what still isn't quite right with Atleti. Griezmann and Costa both played better, but still not up to their standard. Griezmann had 3 shots, didn't put any of them on target. Costa, I thought, played pretty well, the best he's looked in several weeks, but his level has been so kind of poor that he didn't have a particularly high bar to clear. I thought he was a lot more aggressive than we've seen in recent weeks, and I think that honestly has a lot to do with his health and his fitness. I think I've said it before, I didn't think he was fit from August on until he got hurt against Club Rouge earlier this month. And this was about as healthy as Costa's looked, or as beastly as Costa's looked in a while. Should have scored after the hour to put Atletico up 3-0. Moyá made a good save on it, though, after he kind of put on a really nice move on, I don't remember which defender. It might have been Aritz, but put a really sick move on one of La Real's defenders and kind of opened up a little space for himself.
Yeah, Costa looked better. I think we'll sort of see more of him as he kind of gets back to full fitness. I agree with you. I think sort of the end of last season, the way how hectic it was and how much Atleti relied on him, and then, yeah, so I think he's still coming back a bit. But Griezmann was all right. I think he had a couple chances, but nothing really huge. So we're still waiting to see the best of those two.
Yeah, 3 key passes for Antoine, but again, couldn't put a shot on target. Luckily, Atletico didn't need him. Luckily, the defenders put their shots on target.
Yeah, and I think it was good to see in this match there weren't as many as we've kind of seen in recent weeks when Atleti get a bit desperate. They kind of start jacking up a bunch of long shots, and it doesn't necessarily come to much. But we didn't see that as much in this match, maybe because they were ahead. But then as well, they weren't taking many before we took the lead.
A little more from Simeone post-game talking about Costa. He said he's working hard to get back to goal-scoring form. He's a very important player, and if he keeps doing this, the goals will come. He'll be very close to scoring. This is the way forward for him. And we've said this before, but we're heading into November, and Costa still doesn't have a league goal, which is just incredibly, incredibly strange. But we'll see if he gets one soon. Right. I mean, just got to keep hoping for it.
Yeah, and I think it certainly will come. I think we just, like I said, we need to see him get more matches now that he's back from injury and then sort of get his fitness back to where it usually is.
I also feel like Atletico didn't get quite as many chances as they could have in this game.
Mm.
14 shots overall, just 4 on target, despite over 61% possession and a really overwhelming spell, I thought, in the first half. and just kind of carrying that through into the second half until the second goal arrived. Looked for a little bit like Atletico were going to get that third, but just couldn't quite break the door down one more time. Credit to Asier Garitano and his Real Sociedad side, at least defensively. They were pretty organized for large chunks of this match, but there were a lot of times when Atletico kind of pulled them out of position. It just kind of tore little spaces through their defense, just couldn't capitalize. So that's still an issue, that there weren't that many big chances created. It's also an issue that the defenders are finishing them, but at least someone's finishing those chances. The corner taking is still abysmal. Atletico had 10 corners, and I don't think one of them came close to actually resulting in a goal or a shot.
I think the only one was in like the last minute, wasn't it?
I can't remember.
I think Godin may have had a header towards the end. I don't remember who took the corner. Let me see if I can figure it out. Thomas Lemar on 89 minutes.
There we go.
But that, I think Thomas Lemar is a corner taker. I don't think he's the worst option.
I think he's better than Koke.
At this point, yeah, I think Koke just needs to be off all set pieces.
Yes, he does. And
yep. Which is, it's so bizarre. It's just bizarre. I've been thinking about it so much with Koke. It's like, how is the skill that you had as a youngster just gone?
How is it just disappeared? When he was 23 years old, he was setting up goals from corners for fun. Now he can't do it if he tried.
It's bizarre. It's totally bizarre.
Very strange. Simeone's use of substitutes was also strange in this game. Tomas Lemar, as you mentioned, he came on in the 82nd minute. And Felipe replaced Lucas at halftime because Lucas was injured. Other than that, no Nico Kalinic, no Vitolo, no Gelson, no Tomas Partey. Strange again from Cholo. I mean, with the Copa del Rey coming up, okay, there's a chance for a couple of those guys at least. But it's also, you got to figure academy players into that equation. You got to find time for them because this is an important step for those kids. What did you think of how Cholo used his bench again?
Yeah, again, I think we're seeing some of the same issues we talked about midweek, especially with Gelson. I mean, at least he was in the team.
That's true.
On the weekend, but still didn't come with the sniff. It's just weird he's not taking advantage of having three substitutions. I don't know if it's a trust thing or if he was just kind of content with the way the team is playing. I mean, it makes less sense in the matches that Atleti lose when he leaves a substitution just sitting there, or two or three if it was at the Villarreal game, he didn't make a sub, or maybe just one.
It was Correa, right,
that's right, yeah. So it just doesn't really make sense at the moment. I don't know, I think Gelson will probably play midweek. You'd think Vitola would too, but then like you say, Borja's gonna probably want to get some time. Some of the other youngsters we saw over the summer might maybe get a sniff, we'll see.
Yeah, maybe Victor Mollejo. I'd love to see him because I think he's a really, really good young player. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a little strange that not even Vitolo would get just a couple minutes, but Simeone's never really been one of those coaches who throws guys on in like the 89th or 90th minute just to give them a little cardio. That's never really been Cholo's style. There are a lot of coaches who do that, but Cholo's not really like that. That said, it is kind of weird. Cholo didn't say much about it after the match, but he praised the team's response, their internal rebellion, I think was how he phrased it. And Cholo again said, look, the result in Dortmund was bad, but we played well. Koke said kind of the same thing, that it was a fluke result, quote-unquote.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're not horribly off base in saying that, but they certainly deserve to get beaten, I think, in that match. Maybe not as badly as it ended up being, but even still, it's not like the team played particularly well.
So despite the lack of production from Atletico's really expensive forward pair, they're unbeaten in the last seven in La Liga. They went top Saturday night. They've conceded just once in the last six. They once again have the best defensive record in Primera. They currently sit fourth, but just 2 points off top spot. entering November. So there are worse places to be, and I think Atletico are fourth. Like, that's not the thing to focus on. What the thing to focus on is that La Liga is so close and kind of crazy this year. Being 2 points off top with all the craziness that's gone on through 10 weeks, I think that's big.
Yeah, and I sort of tend to think the league table isn't particularly helpful to look at, really, for a while into the season. I think 10 matches in is probably the first time where it can actually tell you something. And I think we can kind of see that there's some kind of fluky teams up there in the top four, which you would imagine may sink down later. But Atletico are in a great position right now. Even with some of the bad results they've had, I mean, had they not had them, they could easily be top right now. But, you know, you just got to roll with what happens, and it's good that they're still in touching distance, at least.
I mean, a team like Alaves, you could argue that they've scored 4 goals this season in the 90th minute or later that have either secured a point or secured all 3 points. So, you know, there's two sides to that coin. One could say, okay, this is something that this could be their year. Or there's another, you know, side of that, which is, okay, they keep scoring a bunch of late goals. That well is going to run dry sooner rather than later. All credit to Alaves. They are off to an amazing start. Abelardo is a, you know, miracle worker. But there, you know, there's a chance that some of their underlying numbers, you know, come home to roost. And Sevilla, you know, we'll see how they do later in the campaign. This is a team that usually does have some issues entering springtime, while teams like Atletico get stronger around that time of year, but that's in the far future. Right now, Atletico, you're 2 points off top. They have Leganés next weekend. That, by the way, that's a 5 a.m. kickoff for me. Woohoo!
Yeah, I was just looking at that, actually.
Yeah, that's a 5 a.m. kickoff in Phoenix. Cannot wait.
Yeah, I bet you're looking forward to that one.
Hashtag but yeah, team, well,
I
mean, look,
if you, I think I'm sort of tend to look at these sort of things, like with Alaves winning in the 90th minute or later, it's sort of fluky things. I mean, it's no slight on the team or anything, but it's just sort of things that'll come back around eventually. And I mean, I think if you look at the top four in terms of goal difference, okay, or expected goals, I think Barcelona, they're leading, but obviously, I mean, they have great players, they'll overperform their expected goals. But Alaves really have gotten the rub of the green, both scoring goals and not conceding them. So, yeah, we'll see what happens there. But you'd think that Sevilla is probably good enough to stick around that top four. But Alaves would certainly be the one you'd expect to drop out.
We'll see. And you got to remember, Real Madrid are in ninth right now. And
that's right, which is very helpful.
It's great that they're in ninth.
I think they'll end up being better than that. It's nice now, but they'll end up being higher than that for sure.
I mean, let's hope they're not, but we'll see.
Oh, well, obviously, we're hoping that they finish in, like, 20th, but yeah. I mean, but, you know, I think it's more likely than not they go up in the table. But at the same time, they don't have the Ronaldo effect, which is for half a season, he can just score all of the goals and you'll be fine.
Yeah, they don't quite have that anymore. So La Liga is tight, and Atletico, I know it hasn't seemed like it, because obviously the Dortmund result colored things, or continues to color things in a way. But Atleti have been pretty stable, pretty consistent in La Liga. Just the one goal conceded, and that was at Villarreal, where Atleti never win. Just the one goal conceded in their last six in Primera. So pretty, pretty, pretty good.
Yeah, could be a whole lot worse, especially given some of the results they've had early. So they're hanging in there, which is all we can ask for at this point, I guess.
On to the Copa del Rey, Rob. That is that competition. That is a thing that Atletico participated in every year.
Not much of a cup man, are you?
Oh, listen, I love the Copa del Rey, but it could be so much better than it is. Like,
they gotta stop the two-leg thing.
I mean, domestic cup competitions they're not a crapshoot, but they can get boring because of all this. Like the FA Cup bores the hell out of me because there's so many teams and there's so many rounds. With the Copa, it's just, oh, all of a sudden we're into the round of 32. Like, oh, okay, great. And, you know, all these top-flight teams are playing, you know, Terceira teams that don't really have a chance.
Right, basically they get blown out, and then the only times it's interesting is when you get to the quarterfinals. I think the one advantage that the FA Cup would have is that it is just one leg for most of the early rounds, which I think it's helpful to the smaller team because they're more likely to get an unlikely result
and get a replay.
And then just two legs of playing like a third division team is just kind of soul crushing. Yeah. Generally, the Primera team just blows them out in the first leg and then does nothing in the second leg and plays all academy players.
With that in mind, let's talk about Unió Esportiva Sant Andreu.
Yes, certainly a team that all of our listeners will be familiar with.
They are Atletico's opponent on Tuesday night. That is a very late kickoff in Spain. I think it's a 10:30 kickoff in Madrid. The game is at San Andreu's Narcisala, which seats about 6,600. San Andreu is a neighborhood in Barcelona, so Atletico are going to Barcelona for this match. They have never played San Andreu. They have never played in La Liga. They've spent 11 seasons in Segunda, but most of their history has been spent in the Tercera División, which is where they currently are.
Yep, and they have many players who no one will know of. I think it'll be interesting. I enjoy parts of these Copa matches, like,
oh, for sure, like
when the team wore the meat jerseys a couple years ago, that was fun.
Yeah, I mean, Tercera teams, they do interesting promotional things like that to get attention, and you know, they'll get the headlines, and there is a novelty to this. There is a certain romance about these games where, you know, Atletico and Barcelona and Real Madrid and Valencia as well, they go to some of these smaller grounds and face these Tercera sides that don't bring in teams like this. And they're really small stadiums, and they're usually some pretty passionate fans. It's really cool to see, you know, a big club like Atletico playing in a 6,600 seat stadium.
Yeah, you've got to have a pretty strong will of mine to support a third division Spanish team, because figuring out that division and how that works in any kind of way, bless you, with all the groups and stuff.
You got to think that a lot of these supporters also support Barcelona.
You would absolutely think that.
Or Espanyol, but likely Barcelona.
This would be more than likely someone's local club that right. You just kind of wander down to and go watch, but you're probably more a Barcelona or maybe Espanyol fan. But
Our own Robbie Dunn wrote this morning about how changes are going to be afoot for this match. There's going to be quite a bit of rotation, it appears. Coque, Jose Jimenez, Diego Godin, and Lucas Hernandez trained in the gym on Monday. Antoine Griezmann got the day off, so he's not going to play. Simeone has tried out a defense with Arias, Savic, Felipe Luis, and Francisco Montero at the back. But Felipe had to leave training a little bit early. So we'll see what happens at left back there. Probably an opportunity for an academy kid. It looks like,
yeah, which is always exciting. And that's probably the best part about it, watching it as an Atletico fan, is seeing the youngsters.
Looks like Vitolo is going to start. You remember Vitolo.
He's still a guy that's around.
You remember him. Nikola Kalinic and Jelson Martins also are expected to, if not start, play a pretty decent sized role in this match. And especially with what's going on in the next week, Leganés next weekend, then Borussia Dortmund in the Champions League next week, followed by Athletic the weekend after that, and then the international break.
So it's another one.
Another one. Very important week coming up for Atletico after this match, which, honestly, it is a formality. You know, these yes. third division sides, you know, and there is a certain distribution of power that Tercera sides just do not have, because they're three divisions lower than a team like Atletico.
Yeah, I mean, it shouldn't be close. It shouldn't really even be. I mean, second leg should be a formality. Essentially.
Yeah, that is the hope. The second, I don't even think the second leg's till December.
Which is also just weird.
It's so strange. Right,
we're getting something that doesn't make any sense.
It's so strange, but yeah, who am I to complain?
Yeah, I mean, let's hope we see some youngsters. I'd like to see Borja. Yeah. I'd be interested to see Borja and Kalinic up front together. I think that might be interesting.
I think it would as well. I just want to see Jelson for, like, any period of time.
Surely he has to start.
Yeah, and you'd like to see a couple academy defenders. Montero looks like he'll be one of them. you'd like to see a few of those guys get some time. I mentioned Moyejo earlier. He's another one that I'd like to get a glimpse of.
Carlos Isak is around.
Yep, Carlos Isak, who's played for the senior side twice.
Yeah, he probably has the most experience, I guess, in the first team.
So we'll see how the squad looks when it comes out. If it's not out already, I haven't checked yet. When I do the how to watch, I'll include it no matter what. You got a scoreline prediction?
I'm gonna go for 4-0.
4-0.
Yeah,
probably about right. I'm gonna go 3-0.
Yeah, I think it'll be in that range somewhere. They may get a crappy goal, but I wouldn't expect it.
Yeah, it's probably going to be a convincing. Although, remember last year against Elche, that got kind of hairy. So you don't want to take anything for granted. That being said, this should be an easy win away to kick off the Copa del Rey and just continue to get some good feelings back and. When you go back to La Liga.
And to be fair, I mean, and Getafe are a bit bigger of a side than San Andreas, whatever they're called. And they got promoted to Elche, so they're not in the third division anymore. But yeah,
oh, they're not.
They should. Yeah, I think that's the positive playing youngsters is that they won't take it for granted. It's important to them.
Hey, good for Elche. I forgot they got promoted to Segunda. Good for them.
Yeah, they're back after totally screwing themselves up, not getting relegated and then being financially relegated.
Yes, they beat Zaragoza over the weekend. I mean, they're sitting 11th in Segunda, but they beat Zaragoza 2-0. So that is your Elche update.
Well, and of course, the team of Mr. Johnny Niguez.
That's right.
So, yeah, got some brotherly love there, of course.
That's right. All right, man, anything else before we... head on out of here.
All right,
we are gonna leave it there then. Rob, thank you so much for coming on as ever.
A pleasure.
Follow Rob on Twitter at rwalk03. Follow me, your host Jeremy Barron, on Twitter at jbbarron. Follow Into the Calderon at Into the Calderon. Like ITC on Facebook at facebook.com/Into the Calderon. Subscribe and listen to all new and archived episodes of this program, Colt Schnero Chat, on your favorite podcasting platform, including Apple Podcasts. And make sure to become a Colt Schnero Chat amigo if you'd like to support the show. Patreon.com/Colt Schnero Chat. We do bonus pods, including rumor roundups, which I swear we will do another one. There just aren't any rumors.
There are none.
There aren't really any. I mean, we could do a Chinese Super League update, but, like, to what end?
We could do an update on that and tell you how Sergi Gonzalez is doing in Azerbaijan.
Oh, that actually, I'm intrigued. Now, how is Sergi doing?
I don't know. He plays for a team that just got promoted to the first division in Azerbaijan, so I can't say I know a whole lot. I guess he's playing. You'd hope.
You mean Armenian Premier League star Sergi Gonzalez? Let's see how he's doing real quick.
Good. Everyone loves a bit of Sergi.
FC Ararat Armenia.
Yeah, it's Armenia?
Yeah, it's Armenia, not Azerbaijan.
Oh, you see, I got confused. Well, that's even more interesting.
That's even more.
That makes even less sense. At least Azerbaijan has money.
He has played 3 games for his new club.
Oh, they are bottom of the league.
Oh.
Oh, God.
Oh, that's bad. Poor Sergi.
Okay, well, this is like the Dalian and Yifeng thing all over again. Oh, God, they're bottom of the league again.
I do know that he has 1 assist in the Armenian Independence Cup.
Wow. Man, we were complaining about the Copa. The Independence Cup. Oof. That's a prestigious competition right there.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, you know, that was a weird move. I remember when it happened over the summer. I was like, who is this team?
What
happened to Sergi?
Went to Armenia. Yeah. He has not been... He's been in the squad the last 3 games. He didn't play until October 7th of this season.
Oh, dear.
And his team has not lost with him starting, but they've also only scored 1 goal in 3 games.
Play him, whatever the coach's name is.
So, yeah. Yeah, hashtag free Searchy.
Free Searchy. I mean, you would have expected he could have gone to a lower league Spanish team at the very least. But, yeah, I mean, fair play to him going to a new country.
Yeah, you'd think so, but this is an interesting destination at the very least.
It certainly is. Of all the places in the world of football, hey, you know, do your thing, Searchy.
You wouldn't think Armenia is a hotbed for Spanish, for mid-20s Spanish footballers.
You wouldn't think so. You'd think communication might be a bit of an issue.
Do they have... I'm sorry, we need to end the show, but I'm wondering, do they have any other Spanish players?
Surely not. Certainly not.
Yeah, no, they don't.
Okay.
Sergi is literally their only Spanish player.
So many questions.
So many questions about you.
Few answers. Well, they have some Colombians.
Oh, yeah, they speak Spanish.
Yeah, they can make that happen. And it looks like they have a Brazilian.
They have a Brazilian. You know, Portuguese is really similar.
Yeah, they can figure it out. What, 23-year-old Brazilian? What is going on with this team?
What is going on in Armenian football?
Maybe we need to pay attention to this team. Maybe something's happening here. I don't think so.
should we do an Armenian League update in addition to the Super League?
Yeah, then we're going to have to start putting in the Qatar and Japanese league updates. I mean, we can update on every random league in the world that former Atletico players are playing in.
You know what? This is actually, all right, we're doing that. Hey, everybody, we're replacing the Rumor Roundup.
Yes, it is the foreign section.
Yes, we have
the just, international news desk.
We have just now decided we are replacing the Rumor Roundup with the, what are we going to call it?
The Foreign Services Department or something.
Foreign Services, I love it.
we're coming up with stuff here. We got a lot of Atletico players playing in some rather unknown leagues.
And we have now appointed ourselves as the gatekeepers.
Yes, the only people on the internet willing to talk about these leagues in English.
Yes, so, Colchonero Chat Amigos, you're in luck. Starting next week, we are going to do what'd you call it? The foreign
relations? Foreign Services Department.
The Foreign Services Department at patreon.com/colchonerochat. All the updates you can handle.
Favorites. From Gabby, Fernando Torres.
Armenia, China, Japan, Qatar, you name it, we're going to update you on it.
Live on the ground reporting.
Yes, I'm actually flying to Japan next week.
Oh, that would be nice. That would be really nice. I'd like to go to Japan. That'd be lovely.
I'd settle for that. I'd like to go there. I have friends who have been there. They say it's awesome.
Certainly worst places in the world to go.
Oh, for sure.
So yeah, look forward to that, people.
I'm, you know what? I'm now glad that we had the courage to ask, where is Sergi Gonzalez now?
It's a question that was on all of our minds, but no one courageous enough to ask it. But
no
us.
One wanted to ask it. That's the thing, Rob. No one had the balls to ask it.
He who must be named. Sergi Gonzalez, the legend.
Oh man. On that note, we're done. Coach Nero Chat Amigos, you are gonna have a surprise next week.
Yes, and, do look forward to that.
And yes, I will probably do a brief analysis after the Copa del Rey match tomorrow, and we will catch you guys probably over the weekend, and we'll talk about the Leganés game. Until then, adios.